From the food you need for your Thanksgiving table to the tree you're probably going to chop down days after, and of course the many gifts you plan to buy this holiday season, there's a real push by state leaders to shop local, but especially shop local farms. We're speaking now to Commissioner Brian Herbert from Connecticut's Department of Agriculture. Brian, welcome back to the show. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well. How are you?
I am doing fine. Thank you so much. And Brian, you know the drill. We're going to start out the same way we always do, because I think this is so prevalent. I don't know if people realize how amazing our farming industry is here in Connecticut. How many do we have? How much money are we bringing in? How many people employed by our farms? You know the drill, Brian. Run it down for us.
Yeah. No, and thank you for the opportunity to touch base on that. So, you know, we're kind of coming off the end of apple season, pumpkin picking, and so people are familiar with the local farm that they probably visited for those activities. But to your point, Melissa, we want to remember that there's over 5,000 farms in Connecticut that work 370,000 acres of land in Long Island Sound as well with our oyster and clam production. It generates a $4 billion to the state's economy, so it's a significant revenue generator and, importantly, employs 31,000 of our neighbors across the state. So when you think about agriculture and the sense of community that it brings, it's also an economic driver, a place for jobs, and, all, you know, as you mentioned, great food, activities for the family. We'll talk about a little bit of that now.
I want to, you know, also highlight, Brian, that we do pretty well in the fall, as you mentioned, apple picking and even in the late summer, berry picking, you know, some farms even creating wine from their crops, which is incredible. But the pumpkins, the corn stalks, all that, like we crush the fall. I'd say September, October, we really don't need to push anything. There are people literally flying in from across the country to come to our farms in New England. So we're good on that front. Do we start to see a drop off, though, about this time of year, even heading into until the springtime for our farms?
Yeah. So this is the time of year where it's important that you continue to remember your local farmer, right? They want to employ people 12 months of the year. They can't do that if we're only visiting them for September and October, right? They need a steady stream of income 12 months of the year to make sure that they can keep their lights on, that they can keep their employees on payroll. And so now, you know, you'll see a lot of our farm stands are transitioning from, you know, the fall crops and fall activities into Christmas trees and wreaths. You're going to see a lot more of the, you know, the holiday gatherings, the prepared foods. And it's important when you're shopping for those items that you think about a local farm and pick up a pie there as opposed to just getting a grocery store pie. Or visit them to pick up your honey or cheeses or your cured meats that you might be serving in a charcuterie board. You know, all of those things are really important to their bottom line. Nobody's going to be disappointed when you have this amazing, you know, charcuterie board with local cheeses and meats and goodies. So, you know, make the extra stop, spend the extra time. It's going to be great for your guests, but also it's really important for those businesses you support.
And again, we've got Commissioner Brian Herbert here from Connecticut's Department of Ag. Is there a misconception, Brian, when it comes to pricing? Sometimes you hear, I'm going to go to a local farm to get my, you know, vegetables or my decoration, whatever it may be. Is there a misconception, though, that you're going to be spending more by going to our farms?
You know, a year ago, I would say that the price points are a little bit different because we do have a little bit higher cost of production and a higher cost of living in Connecticut. And so farmers have to take care of their land and their people and their animals, and that's a little bit more expensive to do. As I'm sure you've heard and across the national news, inflation's really caught up. And so farmers are trying to keep their prices as stable as can be. But the cost of, you know, what you would buy at a grocery store or if you're looking for decor or, you know, wreaths and those things, those costs have actually gone up at the big box retailers. So they're actually, it's more competitive to go to a local farm. And again, you get to support that local business who sponsors, you know, the kids' little league teams and the charity fundraisers that happen in town. So it's actually more competitive now because of all the external factors that are happening around the world right now.
I'm really glad you said that because I try to make it a point to get farm fresh food pretty much as we can. And, I mean, because you know my farm-loving heart. I'm obsessed. And I do think it tastes differently. I'm sorry. I swear by it. Don't knock it till you try it. I think when you get a vegetable that literally came directly out of the ground and onto your plate, you can taste it versus what's been shipped from wherever it's coming from. I swear to you, I don't know how of any other way to convince people other than you got to try it yourself, and then
you got to try it.
Right. And then you're going to tell me, oh, she was right all along. And listen, I love hearing those words, but you know, anyways, I digress. I've noticed though, whenever I go to some of the local farms that I hit up the same probably four or five, because I got a routine now, mm-hmm. Bri. I'm into a routine.
Right. Yeah.
So now I've got that down, but I've noticed that the prices are really not that much different. That's what I've noticed this year, at least, which is why I wanted to kind of address that. Because a lot of times I'll say to people, oh, I got, you know, my items for our soup I got here. Or, oh, the side salads I made for everybody at dinner tonight I got here. And people are like, oh, you're bougie. You went to a farm. I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm actually not. I don't appreciate that. I don't think it is bougie, actually. And did you not just say you enjoyed it? So, like, come on, get out of here. But I do think there's a misconception.
That's it. Yes, it is. And this year, it is more competitive than ever because farmers know that they have to, you know, Connecticut farmers know they have to be at a certain price point or their customers, you know, aren't going to show up. Mm-hmm. So they want to have stable prices, whereas the grocery store has a little bit more flexibility, right? You're going to go to the grocery store regardless of what the price of the, you know, the produce or the cold cuts or, you know, whatever else is. Farmers know that they need you to get into, Melissa, like you just said, get into the routine of stopping by their grocery store. Mm-hmm. And you can do stopping by before the grocery store. And that's what I do, right? I go to farmers markets or farm stands, and obviously I'm out and about a lot during the week, so I have a chance to pick up stuff kind of, you know, every few days. But go to the farm stand or the farmers market before you go to the grocery store. Pick up a couple of those staple items or vegetables before you go to the grocery store and get the rest of your, you know, your groceries. You know, you're not going to buy cereal at a farm stand, right? If your kids want, you know, milk and cereal for the breakfast, but you can buy the milk.
Totally.
At a farm stand,
right.
You know,
totally. I agree with you. I think that's again, I do feel like it's partially routine. In fact, we're landing on a day. I believe, were you just at Bishop's? Not that long ago?
We were, yeah. Last week we were at Bishop's, the Lieutenant Governor, and the sixth generation farm owners, Carrie and Sarah. Great people doing an amazing job.
Yeah, I'm obsessed. I love, so Bishop's is on my list today. I go on my days that I know Chase is getting picked up by my mom. So today is my day. I get to go to Bishop's. I get to travel on up to Bishop's. That is part of my routine, though, Brian. I love,
right.
But once you get into that, and by the way, we're going to come back and talk more about this because I think that there's also, it's not just the products that you can obviously get at your farm that's interesting, but it's those personal touches that I think also make a huge difference and mean a lot to people, and we'll get into that in just a moment. I'm telling you right now, in my next life, I think I need to just build a farm and just work it. I really do. Right, Bri? I feel like that needs to be my next endeavor. You know, get out of news and just be a farmer. I think I have to.
Melissa, you are trained for the early mornings. I think you'd be a great farmer. You're up and out of bed, working hard. I think I wouldn't wait for the next life. I think, you know, you have the entire day in front of you. You could have a great little farm going with the rest of the hours that you. Yeah, you've probably got 18 hours left in your day at this point.
Oh, my gosh. You're so right. So when my bosses find out that I just up and leave randomly on a random Tuesday, they're going to be like, wait, what do you mean you're getting out? I'm going to say, well, Commissioner Hurlburt told me to do it. So I'm just letting you know.
Bring them in some veggies, do some cut flowers, some cheese. You know, if you get into the adult beverage business, they will say, you know what? This is great for everybody.
They're like, you know what? Who cares about WIZZ? She's a great farmer, you know? Who cares about us making money off of WIZZ? You know, Melissa's a fantastic farmer. Yeah, I'm sure they're going to say that. But to your point, though, Brian, I do want to talk about something because this was, I was really in. I'm happy that Connecticut, I think, highlights farms the way that it does. If you've never been in the farming industry, because I think it's unique to Connecticut, I might be wrong, but you do encourage and have a lot of ways that people can get into the farming industry, especially if they have no, you know, it's not generational a lot of the time. Unfortunately, we're seeing kind of a trail off, if you will, of generational farming. So a lot of the times you're seeing new farmers come into the industry in Connecticut. But talk about what the state has done to support and get people into the farming industry to begin with.
Yeah, it's like any other industry. We're you know, the average age of a Connecticut farmer is 58. So as those individual farmers age out and retire, we need to be doing work on the other end of the spectrum, getting new people into the industry. And so we have a theme that we think about when we do our day-to-day work at the agency. It's called resiliency through diversity. And so we want diversity of who's in agriculture. So the age of the farmer, their background of the farmer, where they're farming. We want diversity in what they're growing and where they're selling, more value-added products. And you think about something like dairy industry, a very stable, long-term industry in the state of Connecticut. We've been supporting processing on the farm and home delivery. So it's still a dairy farm, but now they're doing something a little bit different, adding to their revenue streams. We just announced last week over $800,000 into farm-to-school programs to make sure that the next generation of students across the state have an understanding about what farming is and can get their hands dirty and think about agriculture in a sense of it's not just, you know, a place you go visit once or twice a year, but it's, you know, it's a potential for, a livelihood and a career. And we had awards that went into rural communities, which is what I think people would expect. But we also had a lot of suburban and a lot of urban awards. So, you know, we're trying to package the approach of the department to hit people where they are, expose them to what farming could be, and think about how it could be in their livelihood. A couple weeks ago, I was out at a dairy farm. They received a restoration resiliency project from us, award, $100,000. They bought an autonomous waterer. So it's this big,
wow,
you know, spaceship-looking thing. It's
yeah,
about 160 acres of corn, and they're using manure from their dairy farm. They're applying it with water on their cornfield. And in Connecticut, right, it's hard to put land into production, so we've got to maximize production for every acre we have. This one piece of equipment increased their yield on that field by 20%.
Wow,
so,
that's,
you know,
a big
that's
deal.
That's a smart investment for us. It's a smart investment for them. We're getting more product out of the same amount of land. A couple weeks before that, I was down at a different dairy farm in a different part of the state, and we're doing drone demonstrations. So, you know, how can you apply cover crops? How can you scout a field? How can you identify pests and disease? And, you know, where you can do precision agriculture and applying of fertilizer based on what the plant needs, not just on a broad-based level. So we're taking next-gen technology and applying it in agriculture to make sure we're working smarter. And I think that's going to attract the next generation of individuals who are like, you know, I don't know that I want to be, you know, on a tractor, but if I could be working drones, if
that's
I could
pretty
be
cool,
you know, operating equipment from
yeah,
my phone, you know, that's a very different approach to farming that we haven't always thought about, but we're trying to make sure that that's getting some attention, amplifying the message so that those students are like, oh, that seems really cool to me.
Yeah.
That's what I want to do.
Yeah, I love that. I do think there are so many opportunities to get into the farming industry, certainly. And kind of getting back to supporting farms, I want to say that there's a real, to me, it's very special going to your local farm because while I was raised Italian, my mother's 100% Italian, and I should love cooking more. Thank God I married a man who is obsessed with cooking because I'm more of a cleaner, if you will, Brian. I'm not really more of a cook, if you will.
Everybody's got a role.
Everyone's got a role. But I have to say, because it's not that I can't cook. I just don't enjoy it. I'm not inspired. But I find I am so inspired whenever I go to a local farm because sometimes they'll have recipe ideas. Sometimes they'll have items that you're just not going to find at the grocery store. And I feel so much more excited, honestly. And this is coming from somebody who does not look forward to cooking dinner every night. I get very excited to cook dinner and to do something fun or surprising for my boys. And it's I have to say it comes from the farms. Same thing with gift giving. The amount of times I have brought a farm fresh pie to somebody's house and they can tell the difference or they feel like, wow, you went out of your way for a specialty pie. I'm like, nah, the farmer's right down the street, but whatever. That's cool. Give me more credit. You know, or like a fresh bouquet of flowers. You know, we always focus on, oh, we got to bring a bottle of wine. It's like, well, no, we don't really have alcohol in our house. So I'll bring a fresh bouquet of flowers and people love it. You know, I think you have unique ideas, you know, in your everyday life or gift giving, things like that, that come only from a farm, really.
Well, and to that point, you know, I don't want to skip over Thanksgiving. I'm a big let's celebrate the holiday that's before us kind of person. So let's, you know, Thanksgiving's really important. But if you're thinking about gift giving for the other holidays in December, you know, to your point earlier in the conversation, listen, we crush it in September and October. So what are we going to do to support Connecticut farmers, you know, early in the spring? One, you can buy flowers for whoever's hosting, or if you're hosting for, you know, potted flowers, poinsettias, other varieties for the home, right? You can you know, bring some of that into the house.
Mm-hmm.
But also, you can do cut flower CSAs. Right. So you're investing in the farm in December so that they can grow a product in March, April, May, June, July that you can take advantage of on a weekly basis.
Is that on the website, Brian? Because I should do that. Honestly, that's such a great gift idea. Is that on CT Grown?
You can find it on CT Grown, and not every cut flower place does a CSA, but a lot more of them are doing it because it's a great way to kind of capture that on the front end when people are thinking about gift giving.
I'll tell you, smart.
I did this for my wife for Mother's Day like 6 years ago. And the next year I went to do it and she had already pre-ordered. She's like, no, I wanted that, so I just did it anyway.
So it's really funny because I might just gift that to myself. There's nothing I love more than putting fresh. There's something about it. I just love having a fresh little bouquet. I think it just spruces up the house. It makes me feel like I come home and I'm in a movie. I don't know why. I'm just very old school like that, but I love it. That's such a great gift, but also treat yourself. Self-care. Get yourself a bouquet.
If you don't want to give it to somebody, or buy two. You can get one for yourself.
That's what I'm saying. I'll buy two. I'll give it to somebody, but then I'll also give it to myself.
It sounds nice. It's very nice. And you're right. It does, you know, change the ambiance of the home when you walk in to have a fresh bouquet there.
Thank you.
But it's really important for the farm, right?
It's a
way for them to, again, we're talking 12 months revenue. It's a way for them to get some revenue on the front end when they're thinking about their farm plan for the year and costs are high, knowing that they sold, you know, 50 or 100 CSA shares. And you could do it for vegetables too. I mean, you know, that's
true.
A great way. You said, you know, get excited about it. Well, if you're picking up a box of fresh veggies every week, you know, now you have something to get excited about. You know, it changes kind of the dynamic of like, oh my God, what am I going to do for dinner this evening? You know, so, you know, think we can always think about ways to do that on the front end that we can take advantage of, you know, throughout the course of the following year. And it makes a difference. Again, it makes a difference to the farm, and it's going to make a difference in your daily life because you're going to know, like, oh, I've got that vegetable that I've never tried before. I'm going to do a different recipe. Let's see what we can put on the table tonight.
Yeah, exactly. And we're going to link, obviously, more information to Brian's podcast at the end of the show, voiceofct.com, for more information. Brian Horbert, I hope you and your family have a wonderful Thanksgiving, and I would love to have you back on in December in the new year. Gotta keep making sure people go to our local farm. So I appreciate you and the work that you do for the Department of Ag and for giving us the time on WICC. Thank you so much.